Bear right at the fork. This is it.
We're dreadfully late.
Look, there's the house. Right up at the end of the road.
My. Well, I don't know what the Bannisters will think.
You would stay to sing carols. They must have every light in the place on. Leave the bags till later.
Yes.
Funny. Expected the place to be awash with cars. And there's only us.
They've left the front door wide open.
The party must be hotting up. Can't hear a thing.
Or maybe at the back.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Come on.
You're sure we've got the right place? I can't see any coats and things.
Anyone in? Shop!
Oh, there's a door open.
Ah, sitting room. Well, there's certainly somebody around. Look at that fire. Not long been mended.
Do you think we ought to leave the front door open?
Well...
I think we better shut it, Rodney.
Okay.
Good evening.
Oh!
I'm sorry if I frightened you. I thought I heard someone in the hall.
We did ring and knock, but...
How rude of me. You're wondering what this hood I'm carrying is. It's for blind man's buff. People cheat so, I'm afraid. Not only the children, either.
Yes, they always...
If you use an ordinary handkerchief tied round the eyes, they always manage to get a corner loose somehow. But if you take a linen bag like this and put it over someone's head and tie it round the neck, then it works so much better, don't you think?
That's the way they play it at Pentonville.
I beg your pardon?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, how rude of me, keeping you standing here.
Oh, it's quite all right. I'm Muriel Hunter, and this is my husband, Rodney.
How do you do?
I'm afraid we're rather late, but the Bannisters are expecting us.
Weren't you told?
Told?
Oh, don't say the party's off.
No, nothing like that. It's just that there's never anyone in this house at this particular hour, on this particular date.
Never anyone?
They always go out.
Really? Well, we should have been earlier, or perhaps they'd have told
there's
us.
There's a special church service. It's been a custom for over 60 years. The rector thought it up to save embarrassment.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't...
It wouldn't do to have the children in the house to see it, would it?
Excuse me, but who are you? And what are you talking about?
Please come in, won't you, and sit by the fire.
Oh, thank you.
I'll just put your coats on a chair for the moment.
Darling.
It's all right, dear. I think she's just a little...
Yes.
Poor thing. Oh, she's very beautiful.
I noticed that.
Now, if you'll sit here.
Oh, thank you. I...
Darling?
Oh, it's nothing. Give me a cigarette.
Sure.
You thought you saw the curtain move?
I just...
Oh, don't worry. Even if you went and looked behind it, you wouldn't see anything now. A man did try once. He stayed in the house specially. But when he pulled the curtain back, he didn't see anything. At least, not quite. He felt some hair, and it moved. That's why they keep so many lights on nowadays.
May I offer you a cigarette, Miss...
No, thank you.
Here you are, dear. I expect they'll be back soon.
Just let her ramble on.
Perhaps you'd be interested to hear about the murder.
The murder?
Oh, was it a long time ago?
I think it was early in the 1870s, and I'm sure it was in February because of the snow.
I see.
The house was much as it is now, except there were only paraffin lamps.
Of course.
There was a newly married couple living here at the time. They'd only been married the summer before.
What was their name?
They were Edward and Jane Waycross. It surprised people a little when she accepted him. You see, there was another young man, much more striking, Jeremy Wilkes. He came of a very good family, but was considered, well, wicked. He had a great black beard and wore white waistcoats and gold chains and drove a gig.
Young men in big beards look so strange nowadays. I suppose then it
was really... But she married Edward Waycross. He was very well set up in business in London, and this sometimes meant him staying there overnight. But Jane Waycross was never afraid of being left in the house alone. On one such night, Jeremy Wilkes was at an inn near here. He was with Dr. Sutton, the local doctor, and a racing man named Pawley. They'd been drinking, of course, but were quite sober.
Do you know the like of this chap, Wilkes?
I do not. He can tell some long enough.
Hello, Doctor. This is the part that interests you. Huh? He says, if turpentine don't do no good, try her on rough cider. And he did.
Good Lord. Well, what became of her then?
She won by a furlong.
Oh, don't believe a word he says, Doctor. But he's a comic. Well. What's the time, eh? Jove, 11:30. I must be leaving you.
An early start tomorrow?
Yes.
Well.
Good night, Doctor. Good night, Pawley.
Good night, Mr. Wilkes.
Good night, all. Oh, Lord. Look at the snow.
I said we'll have it tonight.
Well, it's stopped for the time being. Good night.
Wilkes?
Yes, Doctor?
The snow. I didn't realize. I don't really think in these thin boots. Perhaps you'd oblige me with a lift.
Well, if you're taking the doctor along, Mr. Wilkes, perhaps you could find room for me.
Very well. You're welcome, both of you.
Time he sees this fellow, he thinks to himself, if he reckons he can...
Whoa.
What's the matter?
That's queer.
What is?
Waycross is staying up in London tonight, isn't he, Doctor?
Yes, he said so.
Why?
He's often told me his wife's in bed by 9 o'clock when he's away.
Yes, that's true.
Well, look at the house. That light.
It seems to be moving about.
I don't like this, gentlemen.
Well, it's near midnight.
Precisely. Hang on to the reins, Pawley.
Righto.
I'll take a look to make sure. If it's a burglar, by thunder, I'll settle him. You can see me from here.
If there's any trouble, give us a shout. All right.
Yes. Everything seems to be all right.
No trouble.
Waycross must have come home, after all.
Waycross? Well, I don't think that's likely.
I saw him.
Are you sure it was him?
Well, not sure, perhaps. I don't want to suggest
that... You mean you saw a man in there with her?
Yes, there was a man. Mind you, so far as I could see, it could have been Waycross himself.
Well, let's hope so.
I could see into the hall through the front room windows. She was standing there. With her back to the staircase, wearing a blue dressing wrap over her nightgown and her hair down around her shoulders. She was carrying a candle or a lamp.
Yes, but the man,
Oh, he had his back to me, a tall, thin man.
Waycross isn't thin.
He was standing between me and the light she was carrying. I could have been mistaken.
Yes, no cause for alarm, then.
No. Mrs. Waycross was clearly not alarmed. Whether it was her husband I saw or someone else, I think it's none of our business. Hmm?
Live and let live, I say.
Come on, then.
Another cigarette, dear?
No, not just now, darling.
I'm not boring you.
No, not at all.
You tell it very vividly, Miss...
Yes. Very vividly.
Are we allowed to guess what happened?
Guess?
Well, I suppose you're going to tell us Mrs. Waycross was found murdered next morning and that Wilkes really had seen her murderer just before it happened.
How clever you are.
Well, you don't mean
you may judge for yourself. When the village woman came next morning to clean the house, she found it all locked up and could get no answer. After a while, becoming alarmed, she broke a window and got in. When she saw what was in the front hall, she ran out, screaming for help. But Jane Waycross was past all help. She was lying on her face in the hall, with a broken oil lamp beside her, and from the waist down, her body was all charred.
How terrible!
Tiles of the hall were soaked with blood.
Blood?
Her throat had been cut with a very sharp blade. She had not died of burns alone. She had managed to crawl forward on her hands while she was burning.
Oh, no!
It was a cruel death. Horrible death for a soft, pretty creature.
If she had been burned...
I beg your pardon?
Well, I was going to say, if she'd been burnt so severely, it's a wonder the house didn't catch fire too.
Some of the panelling of the wall and part of the staircase were charred. But the floor is of brick tiles and there wasn't much oil in the lamp.
I see.
Did the police believe...
The police came and found a very odd thing. Near the body, as well as the lamp, were lying a broken medicine bottle and a china candlestick with a candle in it. Both it and the lamp came from Mr. and Mrs. Waycross's bedroom, and they believed she must have come downstairs carrying both.
A lamp and a candle, but surely
one or the other would have been enough. Exactly. What concerned the police more, and the local gossips, was why she had come downstairs at all.
Was it her husband Wilkes saw with her?
No. He spent the whole night in a hotel near Charing Cross, as he always did when he was in London.
Then she opened the door to some stranger, and he...
She'd not opened the door to a stranger. She had not even opened the door.
But I...
When the woman came to the house that next morning, both the front and back doors and all the windows were bolted on the inside. Jane Waycross lay dead, alone. And no one could have been in here with her.
But that's absurd.
You said it had been snowing heavily. Mightn't there have been tracks up to the door?
Yes, there were tracks. Two separate sets.
Well, then?
Both belonged to Mr. Wilkes. One when he walked up to the house and the other when he walked back to the gig. The police had strong suspicions of Mr. Wilkes.
But you said that he was in full view of the doctor and the other chap all the time, right?
Quite right.
And even if he had got into the house... He couldn't have got out again and locked and bolted the door on the inside.
Hardly.
Then why did the police...
They found a letter in the house in Jeremy Wilkes' writing, arranging to call on her at 11:30 that night.
But surely they couldn't arrest him just on that.
No. Jeremy Wilkes had witnesses to his movements, and anyway, it was plain that no one had gone into the house and left it again.
Well, this beats me.
Miss... Is this all true?
It all did happen. Shall I tell you how?
Believe me, I shan't leave this house until you have.
Very well. Of course, 7 or 8 years passed before anything happened. Presently, a new family came to live here and brought up their children. Yes, it must have been fully 7 or 8 years. Jane Waycross was very patient.
Miss, I think...
Several of the people I've told you of died. But Mr. Pawley prospered, and so did Mr. Wilkes. He became an even finer figure of a man as he drew near middle age. And when he married, he gave up his loose habits.
Oh, he married then?
Yes, an heiress, Miss Linshaw. He'd been courting her at the time of the murder.
But I thought he was Jane Waycross's lover.
Poor Jane Waycross. Even after she married Mr. Waycross... She used to lie biting her pillow at night because she was so jealous of Miss Linshaw.
Please, go on.
Mr. Wilkes had always been tall. Now he was finely stout. He always wore frock coats. He'd lost most of his hair, but his beard was full and curly as ever. He had twinkling black eyes and ruddy cheeks. All the children ran to him. They say he broke as many hearts as ever. He was always the first to lead the cotillion or applaud the fiddler. I don't know what hostesses would have done without him.
Oh, but
I'm digressing again. One Christmas Eve, the Fentons, who had taken this house, gave a party. There was to be no dancing but all the old games. Naturally, Mr. Wilkes was the first to be invited and the first to accept.
But didn't he feel anything? I mean about coming here.
What's past is past. So they say. Everything is smoothed away by time, like the wrinkles in last year's counterpane. But although it was such a festive season, preparations had not been going at all well. Not at all well.
Arthur, do close the door, dear.
All right.
It's so drafty with it open.
Just trying to let in some fresh air. This confounded smell hanging about the place.
What smell, dear? Give me the carving knife.
Don't you notice it? Can't put a name to it. Rather like burnt cloth.
Yes. And there's something damp, too. You don't suppose this is going to be a damp house, Arthur?
Shouldn't be. Even the fires won't draw properly today. Just because we've guests coming, I suppose.
Now we'll have no grumbling, if you please.
All right, I won't say another word. Shall I carve the ham for you?
I'm doing quite nicely, thank you. You can lay out some plates if you want to help.
Oh, all right. On the little table?
Yes, by the... Ouch!
What's the matter?
I cut myself.
Let me see.
Oh, it's all right, just a little one. Edward startled me looking out from behind the curtains.
Edward?
Do make him go and play in the nursery.
But he is in the nursery, dear. Caroline took him up.
But I distinctly... At least I thought it was he.
We'll soon see. There's no one there. The draught must have moved the curtains.
But I really thought... Oh, well, never mind. Now do let's get on, or the guest will be arriving before we're ready.
Oh, Mr. Wilkes.
And a merry Christmas to you, dear lady. Now, who's next? Ah, Miss Abbott.
No, Mr. Wilkes. You've caught me once already.
I have? Bless me. Well, never mind. It won't be Christmas Eve again for another year.
Really, Jeremy, you've made Miss Abbott blush.
What? Jealous wife already, my dear?
No, not at all, but
what's mistletoe for, then, I ask? Come to think of it, you're standing under it yourself.
Oh, now, Jeremy.
Oh, hello. Well, here's Fenton with the snapdragon bowl. Bravo.
The snapdragon bowl? I don't think I know about this, Mrs. Wilkes.
It's a very old custom, Miss Abbott. You see...
Centuries old, they say. It's a bowl of spirit. In a moment, you'll see it lighted, you know, like a Christmas pudding.
Oh, yes?
Then everyone has to plunge his hand in and pluck out a raisin without getting scorched.
Oh, I don't know whether...
No danger at all. Now, here it is. And there it goes. Now, isn't that fine, Miss Abbott?
Yes, indeed.
Is anything the matter?
Oh, no, nothing. It's just that... Oh, no, it's too silly.
What is it?
Just as the flame sprang up, it seemed as though there was a face looking over Mr. Fenton's shoulder.
What?
Of course, it must have been the play of the shadows and the people's faces behind.
Of course. Now, you come along and see how easy it is to pluck out your raisins.
Later, when the children had been put to bed and there was tissue paper scattered all over the house, someone suggested blind man's buff.
Capital, capital. Now, someone find the blindfold and I'll hide.
Oh, no, you don't, Wilkes. Not after what happened last year.
Last year, Fenton? No, I don't remember.
Mrs. Wilkes remembers, don't you, my dear?
You mean the cheating?
Exactly. No matter which of the ladies we blindfolded and how many of the men hid, it was always you they managed to find, Wilkes.
Oh, I remember now. Yes, very pleasant indeed.
Well, this time we'll play it differently. I got my wife to make this linen bag, see? No holes and a drawstring to go around the neck. Now, we'll place this over a lady's head. Then the rest of you will take your places about the room and see who she can catch without peeping.
Oh, spoil.
Not at all. Does everyone agree?
Yes.
Huh? Well, I don't, but let it pass anyway. What?
No. Who's to be the first lady? Oh, confound that lamp again.
Oh, it's almost out. How annoying for Mrs. Fenton.
That gentleman's doing something to it.
It'll be all right. I wager they catch me just the same.
Now, Jeremy.
Christmas, my dear. Ah, now that's better.
Now, are we all ready? Then take up your places, everyone.
I'm going over there.
I think I shall stay here.
Oh, I thought of doing that too, Mrs. Wilkes. Oh, I'd better move.
Too late. She's beginning. Who is it? Did you see?
No. Mr. Fenton found her while they were doing the lamp.
Someone in a blue dress.
Well, I think I did notice her near the door.
Keep still. She's listening. Now she's moving.
She's going straight towards your husband.
You always do.
Look how she's moving. With such an air of purpose. And in funny little jerks. He's moving round the room.
She's after him, though.
She must have heard him.
He can't get away.
Oh, she's very clever. What a curious smell.
Yes.
Someone's clothes must be scorching by the fire.
No, there's no one near it. It is like something burning.
Mr. Wilkes is almost running now. But she's after him.
I thought she wasn't able to see. Let me past.
She's still following him. She brushed right against me. That smell of burning. And did you notice a sort of stain on her blindfold? As if something was seeping through.
He's getting behind the curtains. She'll lose him now.
Yes. No, she's going behind too. She must get him now.
No. No. Keep away. Keep away.
Jeremy.
Get it away from me. Get it off. Ah!
Wilkes, what is it, man?
My God.
What is it? What is it?
Keep away. Keep away, Mrs. Wilkes. Ladies, please leave the room as quickly as you can. As quickly as you can.
Mr. Wilkes was lying on the window seat clutching the white hood. There was blood on it. On everything. It was gushing from his throat.
But the woman...
There was no woman there. And Mr. Fenton couldn't remember having seen her at the house before. They examined the bay windows. They were still bolted on the inside.
And it happened in this room?
Those are the very curtains hanging there.
Poor devil.
Oh, but he deserved to die. He murdered Jane Waycross.
But you told us he couldn't have. He never went into the house.
No more he did.
Well, you'd better tell us.
Please.
As I told you, he was courting Miss Linshaw, the heiress. She would have been horrified if she'd heard about him and Mrs. Waycross and have broken off the match. But Jane Waycross meant her to hear. You see, she was very much in love with Jeremy Wilkes and insanely jealous.
But she was only newly married herself.
Oh, can't you see how it was? Nothing mattered but that her lover intended to marry another woman. And she threatened to expose him.
But how...
When Wilkes and his friends drove towards the house that night, they saw a light. Jane had been waiting for her lover to come to her at 11:30. When she saw the lights at the gig, she thought it was he. How could she know he was not alone? She started downstairs towards the door. Wilkes had not expected to have company in his gig. The light gave him the excuse to get down and go to the house, hoping, I suppose, to tell her he would return later.
Very well, but how...
No, dear. Wait.
I told you she had a lamp and a candle and a medicine bottle. The lamp oil was low. She was carrying the candle in case the lamp suddenly went out, and a bottle of oil to recharge the lamp when she got downstairs. But she was in too much of a hurry, and her long nightgown tripped her. She pitched forward. The medicine bottle broke on the tiles. The oil poured out of it. The candle set it alight. She lay in a pool of blazing oil. But that was not all. One intact side of the broken bottle cut into her throat when she fell on it. She lay there, not stunned, but helpless, in blood and flame, as Jeremy Wilkes peered through the window. He looked in and saw pretty Jane looking up at him, beseechingly, while the blue flame ran up and turned yellow. If he had broken in, he could have saved her. But at that moment, he saw his chance to avoid the scandal which would have spoiled his hopes of his heiress. He turned away and walked back to the gig with a tale of having seen Jane Waycross with another man.
How horrible!
Years later, they played Blind Man's Buff in this room, and Jane Waycross came back for him. He deserved to die.
And that's why...
They prefer to be out of the house for an hour on Christmas Eve. It will never happen again. Now. I don't know how to thank you. You have been so good to me. You have listened as no one else would. And now I've told it at last. We can both rest.